As the advertisements keep reminding us, this is the gift-giving season, and for the readers on your holiday list, our reviewer, Alan Chews, has a number of suggestions. We'll tell you how to get a copy of this list later.
I want to reach back to some old stories for my recommendations this year. As far back as Homer's Odyssey, perhaps the richest, most colorful, most exciting adventure story ever told. Most of the serious readers of my generation cut their teeth on Robert Fitzgerald's version of Homer's great epic. There's a new translation by Princeton classicist Robert Fagles. Why a new translation? Because a poem this great, like great music, cries out to be performed over and over again.
Sing to me of the man, Muse, the man of twists and turns, driven time and again off course, once he had plundered the hallowed heights of Troy. Many cities of men he saw and learned their minds, many pains he suffered, heart sick on the open sea, fighting to save his life and bring his comrades home. But he could not save them from disaster, hard as he strove. The recklessness of their own ways destroyed them all, the blind fools. They devoured the cattle of the sun, and the sun god blotted out the day of their return. Launch out on his story, Muse, daughter of Zeus. Start from where you will. Sing for our time, too.
Singing for our time is California writer James Houston. His impressive novel, Continental Drift, has just been reissued, and I hope it's going to find the wide national audience it deserves. Houston tells the story of a West Coast family that's in as much turmoil as the shifting earth beneath their house. The opening has the feel of epic, both in geological terms and human affairs.
From high above, say, gazing down from one of our tracking satellites, he can see it plain as an incision. A 600-mile incision some careless surgeon stitched up across the surface of the earth. It marks the line where two great slabs of the earth's crust meet and grind together. The line where these two slabs or plates meet is called the San Andreas Fault. It cuts south from San Francisco, past San Jose, underneath the old San Juan Bautista Mission, on down behind Los Angeles, and back underwater again at the Gulf of California.
Quicker Than the Eye is the first collection in years by fantasist Ray Bradbury, the author of such books as Fahrenheit 451 and The Golden Apples of the Sun. Bradbury's a very special writer of whimsical, sometimes eerie tales that range from modern ghost stories to science fiction to elegies about lost American childhoods, old-fashioned stories with the flavor of things told around the fire in deep winter. Here's Bradbury reading the opening of a story called The Witch Door.
There was a pounding on a door, a furious, frantic, insistent pounding, born of hysteria and fear and a great desire to be heard, to be freed, to be let loose, to escape. It was a wrenching and hidden paneling. It was a hollow knocking, a rapping, a testing, a clawing. It was a scratching at hollow boards, a ripping at bedded nails. It was a muffled closet shouting and demanding far away. And a call to be noticed, followed by a silence.
Modern poetry can be tough to take for some listeners, but if there's someone you want to win over to the art of articulating sweet sounds together, as W.B. Yeats described the making of poetry, or if there's a poetry lover you want to please, there's In Their Own Words, a 2-CD box set of 100 years of American poets reading their best work aloud. Walt Whitman, Robert Frost, Ezra Pound, E.E. Cummings, Gertrude Stein, Rita Dove. From In Their Own Words, here's Edna St. Vincent Millay reciting her 1920s lyric, Recuerdo, about a romantic New York Harbor ferry ride.
We were very merry. We were very tired. We were very merry. We had gone back and forth all night on the ferry. It was bare and bright and smelled like a stable. But we looked into a fire. We leaned across a table. We lay on a hilltop underneath the moon. And the whistles kept blowing and the dawn came soon. We were very tired. We were very merry. We had gone back and forth all night on the ferry.
If you want to see the printed versions of most of these poems, you can go to an old standby like the Norton Anthology of Modern Poetry. The most recent Norton Anthology is the Norton Anthology of African American Literature, bound to become an old standby. It's a definitive historical collection, including biographical sketches and bibliographies, bringing together African-American poets and essayists, playwrights and novelists from the 18th century through the present day. Poet Gwendolyn Brooks, for example, recreates the exciting and dangerous world of a ghetto pool hall where some young boys have decided to play hooky in her sharp lyric, "We Real Cool." Here's Brooks in a 1994 reading of the poem.
The pool players, seven at the golden shovel. We real cool, we left school, we lurk late, we strike straight, we sing sin, we thin gin, we jazz June, we dice.
Now for kids. The late Russian artist Gleb Botkin's Lost Tales, a beautifully illustrated book of satirical stories about a political struggle between revolutionary monkeys and monarchist bears in a made-up place that seems remarkably like his native Russia. Botkin's father was physician to the Tsar's family, and as an adolescent, he created these tales as entertainment for the children of the Tsar. Botkin eventually emigrated to America and passed the stories down to his daughter, Marina Botkin-Schweitzer.
In the year 1895, in the kingdom of the monkeys, there suddenly erupted an uprising of the bears, led by a committee from Littletown. The uprising was crushed with exceptional severity, and the inhabitants of Littletown were deported to the easternmost edge of the kingdom's frontier.
And for more traditional children's stories,
one day a great lion lay asleep in the sunshine. A little mouse ran across his paw and wakened him. The great lion was just going to eat him up when the little mouse cried, "Oh, please let me go, sir. Someday I may help you." The lion laughed at the thought that the little mouse could be of any use to him.
Aesop's fable, The Lion and the Mouse, read by Dorian Harewood, from the compact disc version of The Children's Book of Virtues, edited by William Bennett. A delicious dose of moral values, stories about courage and perseverance and trust and the importance of honesty, stories that have stayed with us for as long as we and our best writers can remember, stories we never want to lose.
Our reviewer is Alan Chews, and for a copy of his recommendations, you can either send email to atc@npr.org, and you have to make sure to put the word list in the subject field, or you can check out our website at www.npr.org, or you can use the telephone. You can call us at 202-898-2395. That is area code 202-898-2395.